Buccaneers fans, here he is at Hooters of all places, the sage of Tampa Bay sports, the baron of Big Storm beer, Mr. Bill Curry Ford himself, the king of Newport Richie, Uncle Ira, the custodian of Canton, and this is day five of training camp. It's all wrapped up and it's all presented here on the Ira Kaufman podcast by Bill Curry Ford, Tampa's very first family of Ford, 61 years. Mile north of Raymond James Stadium, the nationwide lifetime warranty for you. New and used vehicles, Ira. Used vehicle, nationwide lifetime warranty. A lot of people don't believe that because they don't find it anywhere else, but they can find it right there. All the details at BillCurryFord.com, BillCurryFord.com. Order your vehicle now, your brand new vehicle, 2023. And GM Sean Sullivan, he's going to give you a $500 gift card just to do it. And no deposit. And you've got custom concierge to walk you through the process online. If you don't want to go in the dealership, it's so easy and they are so amazing. BillCurryFord.com. Ira also, Big Storm Beer is the official beer of the Ira Kaufman podcast. And I got to ask you, Ira, no longer will you have to wear your dirty old Yankees hat that your wife bought you at a flea market in Brooklyn. You can wear your Big Storm gear.
Much appreciated, Steve. Much appreciated.
So, Sage, could you go for a cold Big Storm beer today? It is that kind of day.
Absolutely. And we're sitting here at Hooters, and I want your confirmation to all our listeners. You must confirm the Sage had a Hooters salad with chicken.
Yeah, Sage had a salad. Pretty good, Sage.
I also grabbed 8 of your curly fries.
You did play human seagull today here as we sit here at Hooters. Ira, I'm going to give you a chance at the end of the podcast to reference the great Bill Russell, because I know you want to go there. So, and some of our fans, I'm sure, probably want to hear your thoughts, but we'll save that till the end. For now, it's Bucs football, Ira, and I got to tell you, Sage, first day in pads, Aaron Stinney back at left guard, you know, taking those first team snaps, nothing crazy out of the ordinary, Antoine Winfield moving around, typical of training camp, guys in different positions, but Tom Brady after practice, a little bit ornery, Ira, you were right there in the front row, and I have to say, hey, maybe it means nothing, and it probably does, but last two practices, he didn't look so good.
You got to wonder whether that is a factor, because I thought he was particularly cranky. He's never very forthcoming, guys. Lee always says, Brady doesn't say anything. He's right and he's wrong. Today he was right. I don't remember, Steve, one substantive answer from Tom Brady today. And he was there for what, 12 minutes, 10 minutes? Even some guys that he knew, Jared Bell. Goes back a long way with Jared Bell. He mentioned my name when he was answering the question or trying to answer the question, and he didn't answer the question. And I think it was about his mindset coming back from retirement the second time or something. He didn't want to go there. It's old news. Lee, he was particularly cranky today, and I'm wondering if that's a reflection of he's not happy with what he's seeing on the field.
I can't imagine why. The fourth practice was lousy for the offense. I thought they rebounded today. The first three practices, the offense was excellent, I thought. So I don't know what he's cranky about. I mean, he had one bad practice in my eyes. So, but I remember last year he had, I think his first press conference at training camp, he was real prissy. And he actually apologized. He goes, you know, guys, I'm sorry. I just had a lousy practice. I'm not in a good mood.
I tried to get a laugh out of him, Steve. I said, are you thinking about asking for a finder's fee for all your recruiting efforts? And I got nothing. I got the straight face from
Brady. He dropped your name?
You got nothing, Ira, nothing. Hey, that's the voice of Lee DeCamper of Joe Bucs fan. I'm Steve Isbitz of Joe Bucs fan. Sage, I wanted to talk a little more about that Big Storm beer, the ice cold Bromosa. So good. I was at their 10th anniversary party at the Big Storm Tap Room, 49th Street, just south of Almerton Road on Saturday night. Packed house.
You brought me some paraphernalia today, Steve.
Brought you some.
Not that kind.
So, you know, when you go out and watch games with fans at Big Storm Brewery in Odessa and in Clearwater this year, you can wear the gear. Got your Bromosa shirt, a Big Storm t-shirt, a couple of hats. So you're all set, Sage.
I can't wait for the Ybor City location to open, Steve.
Yeah, it's going to be great. And just the food was so good. I'm addicted now, Ira. The mahi tropical salad with mahi-mahi and sweet potato fries. Just unreal. Unreal.
Did you polish it off, Steve? Polish it off.
I really did polish it off, and you know, great fun out there, as always. Big Storm Brewery. Find the tap rooms near you at bigstormbrewery.com. All right, Ira, look.
Hold on, Steve.
Are you concerned at all about Brady?
Hold on. I must take a detour. Sometimes we take a detour. My loyal listeners, they need to know this, Steve. Tomorrow's a big day. Tomorrow's a big day for the Sage. He's going to the doctor's office. No, nothing's bothering me. But the same cardiologist who did my stents.
No prostate exam?
6 or 7 years ago. Not if I have anything to do with it. The same guy that did my stents. Thank God I haven't had a problem since. I think it was 2 or 3 stents. Every year I go back. It's in Tampa. It's near the USF campus. And I do the stress test. They call it a nuclear stress test. This is the one with the treadmill, Steve. There's another one where, and I'm looking at Lee when I say this, when you can't do the treadmill, sorry, Lee, while I'm looking at you. If you physically can't do the treadmill, you know, when they crank it up and everything, they do another kind of a stress test where they inject you with something, and like within 20 seconds, your heart goes crazy. I don't want
in theory.
That, and I've never heard that. I don't want any part of that. I do the treadmill. So I'm about at the 8-minute mark, which is not great, Steve. But, you know, once they crank it up after about 4 or 5 minutes, they get you going like crazy. And I always try to last maybe 10 seconds longer than the year before. I got to weigh in, Steve. I'm a little concerned about that. So we shall see. On our next podcast, I will tell everybody how things went. But I am preparing. There's a fast in the morning. No coffee, no bagel, no nothing. So I'll be back later in the week with a report.
No bagel.
Ira, I think I figured out why. I think I figured out why they never gave you the shot. You refuse it.
No, they're not offering it as long as I can do the treadmill.
I can promise you I sweat more out of training camp than I ever did under that stress test.
Steve, I'm looking dead in the eye of a stress test, Stevie. Does that make you nervous?
I'm not nervous for you, Ira. I think you'll handle it. You're playing tennis regularly, and the weigh-in, you may or may not be honest with us on the next podcast.
After the way Brady gave me a non-answer to my question today, Steve, I got more stress.
Well, I guess we'll talk to Brady next week when he'll get a bunch of questions about the Dolphins who are coming in for a joint practice, and he won't answer those either. That should be sort of some good comedy when the Dolphins come in, Ira. Looking at practice today, a little bit Sage. They didn't really go all out, I'll say, in pads. They didn't do a lot of one-on-one kind of, you know, lineman drills and other things like that. But easing in, I got a feeling, though, from Todd Bowles, and maybe it's just me, Ira, that Bowles is just very, very chill about what's going on here. That even though they have new players, I don't think Bowles views that there's really a lot of competition or concern that, hey, we'll find the right guy, and just so much confidence. And so much relaxed nature at one buck.
I think he's trying very hardly to be the voice of reason, the voice of calm. I'm sure there's parts of this buck machine that has disappointed Todd Bowles so far in training camp. Some portions, some players. But you're not going to get that out of Todd Bowles, Lee. And head coaches don't like to single out players. You know that. And I like that.
Well, Arians would.
Gruden didn't do it. Arians would, but I like the Bowles approach. But to Steve's point, chill's a good word, Steve. He's chill right now, Lee. I asked him about replacing 3 guys in the interior of the offensive line. No concern, no problem. It's a lot better if it happens now than right before the end of training camp when you don't have the guys with the reps. I'm sorry. I got a guy in the center that's basically never taken a snap at center, except for the Senior Bowl. Who's going to count the Senior Bowl?
Well, Steve, we went over this last week, but Steve and I can back me up on this. We've spoken with different people in the Bucs organization.
Center is a specific, different, unique position.
I'm not going to lie and tell you this. That I'm not making stuff up here. The people I talk to, they don't seem to be ready to start swinging from the shower head over this. They're depressed, but they're like, we're okay.
Responsibilities at center are very unique. For somebody that's never played the position, I'm concerned.
Sure.
Think the Bucs would actually put a guy out there who's a total turnstile, who doesn't know what the hell he's doing?
No, because Brady wouldn't stand for it.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ira, Brady, I thought, gave an important comment today. A little bit of maybe the only interesting thing he said, depends how you look at it. But he said that on Hainsey, he said he, quote, really gained the trust of a lot of people. referring to his work last year, and he got to earn it, like all of us, but he's got to earn it going forward. But earning the trust of a lot of people, you know, that's Brady's way of saying that they believe in him.
But the bullets didn't fly last year, Lee.
Is there concern? Sure. I mean, should the Bucks just give up on the season already and trade Brady to the Dolphins? No, I'm not going there, and I can't go there. I'll give you some other background here, Ira. I thought of this over the weekend, since we last did a podcast. I remember when Tristan Wirfs was drafted. And White, Jason White, Bruce Arians, they went up to JPP and they went up to Shaq Barrett. And they told those guys, you do not let up on his kid. You give him everything you got, because this guy's got to be ready for week one against Cam Jordan. Throw everything at him, the kitchen sink. Do not let up. Well, what happened? Wirfs went out there week one, neutralized Cam Jordan and the slimy Saints. Now, granted, Wirfs is a crazy good athlete. Haynes is not that good of an athlete. However, let's look at who Haynes is going up against with in practice every day. Akeem Hicks, Vita Vea. Arguably, that's the best interior duo in the NFL. So if anybody's going to be well-prepared, it would be Haynes. Haynes last year was on the Bucs scout team, the offensive scout team. And what I mean by that is a scout team goes up against number one defense, and a scout team goes up against number one offense. Obviously, Ainsley was the center on the offensive scout team. His job each week, you got to block Vita Vea. Something tells me he showed something to the Bucs during that period that made them think, we might be onto something here.
Here's my main point, Steve, and I don't think you can argue with it. Here's all I'm saying, Steve. They're going to take a step back.
Yeah,
at center, and they're going to take a step back at left guard.
Yeah,
that's all I'm saying.
Sage, you made the full point last podcast, and everybody can go back and listen to that.
He's adamant about it.
Tristan Wirfs is a once-in-a-decade player.
Sure, and you articulated it very well, Ira. I'm not going to argue with you.
Ira is my right.
Not going to argue with it.
For our listeners, Ira leaned over the table and tried to get in Steve's face.
It doesn't mean the Bucks aren't going to win their division. Yeah, they're going to win their division.
Ira is bent about this, man.
I got you. I mean,
I've never seen you this passionate, Ira. You are bent about this, man.
What about when Julie Newmar was on that Batman episode?
See, I like Batgirl better.
There you go.
And she was like 22, 23.
I mean, I would love to know what Brady thinks, but he's not going to tell us. And I thought it was a little bit interesting when he said he earned the trust of a lot of people. He didn't say he earned my trust. You know, and of course, obviously, Brady's not going to say that because he didn't play on the field. Everybody
knows. When are we going to get an update on Ryan Jensen? We need an update.
There's really no update to really say. I mean, I know I've been told that players have been informed to move on. There were speeches made at One Buck from players and coaches after Jensen got hurt. And Tom Brady today said he was, quote, heartbroken at the Ryan Jensen news.
Does that mean he can't come back in November? Is that what it means?
That would be an interesting thought if he could. Or January even.
That right now they don't need to have an injury report. They don't need to put him on IR. And they have some time to wait, right? If this happens in week two, you got to clear a roster spot because you need every roster spot.
By the way, here's something we haven't mentioned. I don't think it's that big a deal, but it's something. Moving Haynesy to center. And forget about for a moment whether he can replace Jensen.
I don't think that's realistic.
It hurts their overall depth up front. It hurts their overall depth because now Haynesy's starting, and he's not a quality backup, so to speak, at guard.
You lose any player, a guy goes down, it hurts your depth. But, yeah, they're uniquely thin.
They don't have a lot of experience depth up front. They don't.
No, but you know what? There's going to be a whole lot of players cut in the next few weeks.
Yes, there will.
And probably some veterans.
But I still think a veteran pass rusher is spinning around the mind of Jason Light right now.
I like that. Bowl. Spinning around the mind.
And Dunlop made a pretty, he made some good coin with the Chiefs. Like,
he did what, I'm sorry?
He made some good coin with the Chiefs.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he didn't show up for $2 million.
No, not at all. I mean, that's why he was on the market so long, waiting to get paid. Ndamukong Suh was not the guy to get paid. I still think JPP has some potential here if, as time passes, you know, he's still a familiar face to Todd Bowles. And even if there's some question as to how he'd fit, if Bowles thinks he would fit, you know, late, you know, that becomes very interesting. Ira, the more I listen to Bowles, the more I believe, like a lot of coaches, but Bowles, because he was a player and because the strong culture and all this stuff with the Bucks. And he knows that part of everything is sound. I think he's extra focused on the preseason games. When he looks at the running backs and all these other positions, and what he's going to do at safety. He seems hyper-focused on, hey, preseason is huge for me. What is your take there? And clearly, there's no way the Bucs are going to be resting a bunch of guys in preseason, even though Tristan Wirfs told me the other day, I asked him, at this point in your career, would you love to skip the preseason? He's like, well, yeah.
I think this is a very different approach to preseason, Lee. This is not a team that's bringing back 22 starters. Let's face it, there wasn't much real competition for starting jobs.
No, there's none.
Now you flash forward to this summer, and we want to know what the heck's going on at left guard. We want to know what's going on at tight end. We want to know what's going on at safety. We want to know what's going on at edge rusher on the right side. Where's Logan Hall fit in? There's a lot of questions this year, Lee. A lot more questions. And may I dare bring up this name that I haven't treated very kindly in the past. They want to know a lot more about Kyle Trask. Yes, I said it. Kyle Trask. Todd Bowles is not wedded to Blaine Gabbert like Bruce Arians was. He's not.
Nor is he wedded to Trask.
He's not. He wants to see Trask. What can this kid do? You don't need to see Brady out there too much. God forbid, I'm not sure I want to see Brady out there at all in the preseason.
Well, I'm going to say something. The fans will turn their ire on me rather than you.
Would you be upset if Brady does not take one snap in the preseason?
No, no. I don't care if he takes a snap at all in the preseason. We know what he can do. You bring up Trask. Today was the fifth practice. Yeah, today was the fifth practice. I don't know if he's any better than Gabbert. He has.
What do you see? What do you see, Lee?
I see a guy that needs a lot of work. I see a guy that's not wowing me. I see a guy that I don't know if he's. I don't know if he's a second stringer.
Is there a lot of snap on the ball?
I mean, he throws okay, but there's a whole lot more to the quarterback and then just throwing the ball.
Is he on time?
He'll make some good plays, and he'll make some bad plays. And there's times, and Steve's noticed this as well, looks like he gets really frustrated. His body language is bad. Gets really frustrated, gets upset. The other day, and I didn't get the specifics, so I don't know if this actually happened. You know, what you see 50 yards away and what happened can be two different things. It looked like Leftwich was all over his tail about a pass. Leftwich went back to pass. There was nobody open, and he winged the ball over the end zone.
You mean Trask?
What did I say?
Yeah, you said Leftwich.
Trask threw the ball out of the end zone. And I thought, okay, he's trying to kill
the
clock.
Throw it away. Yeah.
Yeah. Leftwich immediately walked up to him and he was barking at him. And I don't know what he was saying, but you could tell it wasn't just, would you like to go out for some tacos tonight? And he kept following Trask around. Trask went into the huddle and then he got out of the huddle and walked away from the huddle and looked frustrated as could be. And Leftwich is still following. You know, I want the kids to succeed because I think right now he's Brady's successor. Right now. And I don't know, man. I have my doubts.
Hey, Steve, I got a little reinforcement today. I don't want to read too much into it, Steve, but it's something that I think...
Before you change the topic, Ira, the way Trask looks sometimes when he gets a little frustrated, it's kind of like when you get a salad delivered and it's not a sandwich. That sort of sums it up.
You've got to get that line in, Lee. He's got to. Steve, here's my reinforcement. I said this last week, Lee, and I'm going to double down.
Oh. Yeah, I know. You won $20 at poker. So
no, I mentioned Russell Gage as one of the more impressive Bucks so
he
far.
He is.
And I took him right away from you because I went before you. And I mentioned, and I've got a comparison for Russell Gage. And I think it's a very appropriate comparison. And based on what Carlton Davis said today about him, I'm even more confident. He's the next Amari Cooper. He's Amari Cooper. Now, Cooper is not Devontae Adams, and he's not Mike Evans, and he's not Tyreek Hill. But he's very good. And why is he very good? Smooth route runner.
Smooth, yes.
And I think Gage is that way.
Well, you
In
know
and out of his breaks very nicely and knows how to get open.
On short routes, you know what he reminds me of? I'm emphasizing short routes here.
Not Wes Welker. No.
No. On short routes, he reminds me of Antonio Brown. He's that smooth.
Does he have that kind of electricity?
No, but I'm just talking short routes. Like, you know, within 15 yards, he gets separation and is a smooth route runner like Antonio Brown.
He gets separation, Steve.
I was watching one-on-ones today with the quarterbacks throwing to receivers with corners covering them in coverage. And a guy who got separation, we actually have a picture. I don't have him posted it yet, but I will throw it up on Twitter. Tyler Johnson getting separation where I think it was Carlton Davis holding his jersey. I think it was Davis. I'm not knocking him. I think it was Davis. And there was another time in that same drill where Brady underthrew or overthrew. I think it was underthrew Russell Gage, and Brady let out an F-bomb and was just very frustrated in himself. And it's just a frustrating day for Brady, Ira.
He looked better today than he did Saturday?
Steve, you mentioned Carlton Davis. He took the podium after Brady. And after, would you call the word taciturn? Is the word taciturn for Brady?
Oh, I see.
I said cranky, ornery. Carlton Davis Lee, he's a breath of fresh air, this guy.
He's always been one of my favorite interviews.
Steve, he's very confident. And you know what? You better have that at that position. You have to have that at corner. Why? Because you're going to get beat.
Yeah, you will.
You're going to get beat. Yep. And for all these Buck fans that still blame him for the Tyreek Hill regular season game, I ask one question. Wait a minute.
Who blames him for that? Yeah. They won the Super Bowl.
Question's very simple. Who the hell can cover Tyreek Hill one-on-one?
Exactly.
Can't be done. So that's a failure of structure. Carlton Davis is very articulate. He's driven to be the best cornerback in football. Now, I don't think he's close to being that. Lee's got him in the top five. I don't.
He's good.
He gets that top assignment, and he deserves it. I don't think he's top five. I think it's why he doesn't make the Pro Bowl. I think it's why he's not going to be in your NFL Network top 100 lists and all that other stuff, but he's an excellent player, and he deserved the money he got.
He wants 5, 6, 7 picks, Lee. I don't know if he can get it, but that's what he wants.
He gets 10.
Oh, boy.
Now, Carlton Davis, you said he's articulate, which I agree. I think he's a thoughtful guy at the podium.
He is.
Generally, if a guy's thoughtful, it's coming from intelligence.
They asked him about receivers and this and that. And at the end, you know, Carlton Davis just threw up his hands and said, "We got Tom Brady. Like, does it really matter who's catching balls?" I thought that's fantastic.
That's what makes their investment in receivers so interesting. Because
they're trying to maximize
trying to maximize it, but, you know, you don't really need all that firepower. I mean, in some ways, I would have loved to sign the Carlos Dunlap versus Julio Jones. That's me. Not everybody would think that way, but, you know, defense still wins here. But it is a nod toward, I think they really do genuinely believe that all those injuries we had a receiver last year, if we had one more guy or if Antonio Brown didn't lose his mind, we would have won. And so they made sure that wasn't going to happen this year. But, Sage, let me throw this past you. A very candid day from Devin White the other day. And he said flat out, Cameron Brate's the best receiving tight end in camp on the team by far, better than Kyle Rudolph. And he said that Rudolph, not in game shape, not in shape yet. And then White sort of clarified for himself and he said, I'm not knocking him, but he wasn't with a team this offseason. He just signed. He's not in shape. Your thoughts there?
I've read another, I forgot who said it, Lee, but somebody is suggesting that Rudolph's lost a step. I don't think that's a stretch to suggest that, Lee.
No.
One of the reasons he was still out there in the marketplace. He's lost a step, but you know what? To me, kind of reminds me of Cameron Brate at this point.
A little bit.
Yeah.
A bigger Cameron Brate, yeah? A Cameron Brate who can block. He's an okay blocker. Cameron Brate's not a blocker.
The Bucs will tell you he's gotten better as a blocker, that he's not a liability anymore.
Ooh,
Cameron Brate. And he's also a little bigger this season. He's not a good blocker. He's not certainly not Rob Gronkowski, but I'm just saying what they would tell you is that he's better.
Devin White have any prediction about how many sacks he's going to get or anything like that, Steve?
No, not that I heard. I think he's staying away from some of the bigger talk, even though he expects to dominate. But he did talk about working on anticipation being his goal this year. He doesn't want to read and react. He wants to be more mentally better, mentally stronger, and anticipate more because he feels that if I can anticipate, he basically said, I'm so much more athletic than everybody else that I'll dominate. And to me, the mentality, his chatter about anticipation mentality, it almost sounded like Derrick Brooks was coming through him Like, he decided that his next level is, you know, the more I know the game, I'll anticipate.
You know, Lee, speaking about Brooks and Devin White and their relationship, it's tight. And give White kudos for listening to Derek Brooks, unlike O.J. Howard.
He took the words out of my
mouth.
There you go.
But, Lee, one point that I know Brooks is drilling into him, and I know Bowles is drilling into White, and we got to see improvement, is, and I asked Carlton Davis about this. You know, when we asked Bowles on our podcast about tackling, and I said, look, Todd, I got to ask you about it. And he basically said, unsatisfactory last year, unsatisfactory. But, Lee, I'm sure you got the same impression. He wasn't necessarily talking about running plays. He was talking about the Cooper Cups of the world, who does do it to a lot of guys, spinning away to make 16 yards when it should have been 7. And White's part of that, Lee. Maybe a big part of that. Carlton Davis is too. Maybe Neil and Ryan can help in that regard if they're on the field this year, because they're supposed to be good tacklers. But, Lee, my point was Derek Brooks was a form tackler, Lee.
Perfect.
Perfect. Perfect angle. Perfect wrap-up.
Same that, with Ronnie Barber.
He's got to be drilling that into Devin White, and I got to see some improvement from Devin White in that regard. I don't want to be a guy who nags Devin White all the time. But, Steve, the reason I say it is I know how good this guy could be. And he's not there yet, Lee.
I remember Devin White tried to tackle Josh Allen. Couldn't get him down, so he just jumped on top of him like it was one of his horses. And I got him down. Now, here's one for you. I did not like him practice day. He brought the subject up tackling. It's the first today was the first day in pads. And I know Bowles had already spoken like, okay, you got the pads on, but let's not be stupid here. Let's take it easy. You don't want to beat up your teammates. I thought the second level and the third level of the Bucs defense, someone didn't tell them they're in pads. They thought they were still in underwear football. They just went up to a ball carrier and stopped. They didn't even try to wrap up.
I'm glad
to me, that's a cardinal sin.
I'm glad Lee mentioned that, because I said early in the podcast, I didn't express it very well. It seemed like they were, while they were in pads, they were easing into pads. Very unphysical practice for a practice in pads. Now, no one's going to, you don't want to blow anybody up, but a good wrap up and a jostle of a guy is fine.
Thank you.
You didn't see that today.
You didn't like the physicality?
I'm not complaining at all, Ira. It's 105 in the shade out
there. I'm complaining.
But for a day in pads that they were waiting for, it was clearly somebody said, dial it back. You know.
You think that'll change maybe when they go to Nashville?
I think it'll change, of course, tomorrow.
I was going to say it better change tomorrow.
And I would think it would be certainly next week the Dolphins come in. That'll be all out, you know, live periods and that kind of stuff.
I didn't see any dissatisfaction from Bowles in that regard.
No, that's because he probably gave the order of, you know.
Because he said a couple days ago, we're in pads.
So they're playing it a little safely. Yep. They're playing it a little safe.
Well, I mean, eventually you got to play football. And the more you practice wrapping up and the more you practice hitting, the better you will be. You don't improve by not doing. I'm not, like Steve said, I'm not talking about, you know, knocking a guy in half or trying to blow him up to the, you know, middle of next week. But at least form tackle. At least wrap the guy up. At least act like he doesn't have body odor. You know, just hit him.
Speaking of body odor. Hey, Ira, I know in all seriousness, as far as playing it safe, you know, when bad things happen, you got to call Florida's Elite Restoration. Storm damage, your house gets blown up, fire, mold. Mold doesn't blow up a house. Let me correct myself there. But, you know, flood can destroy a house. All kinds of things happen to business owners, homeowners. That first phone call has to go to Florida's Elite Restoration. That first click of the mouse goes to floridaselite-restoration.com. And for Sage listeners and Sage readers, $500 off. You just have to say joebucksfan.com before you make an agreement with them, because Ira, they are the premier Tampa Bay area family-owned operation. They're going to come out to you, and you don't have to pay a nickel. They're going to give you a full assessment of what's going on. They'll work with you to sort it out with your insurance company, or maybe it's a cash situation. Very important, get that discount, but more important, know who to call.
Lee, we've been lucky with the torrential rains. Look what's going on in Kentucky. Suppose that happened in Florida.
What happened in Kentucky?
18 inches of rain and flash flooding everywhere.
I was going to say, well, that's usually good for the corn.
But Steve, that could cause all kinds of structural damage if it happens in Florida.
Yeah, floods are floods, Ira. It's bad news.
I thought you were talking about it, wipe out a couple of practices.
No.
Ira, about the lack of physicality. I've seen dudes get more hands with fat chicks in a bar than the Bucks were getting physical today.
Leave it to Lee to put it in perspective, Steve. It's a beautiful thing.
Well, you know what? FloridasElitereStoration.com. FloridasElitereStoration.com. That's who the Sage calls.
Josh and his crew do a fantastic job, Steve.
Yeah, fantastic. And it keeps getting bigger. I know you were talking to Josh's wife the other day in Publix.
She says business is great. It's booming.
That kind of thing comes from doing a good job and from word of mouth. And because there are so many disasters in Florida, FloridasElitereStoration.com. Remember BillCurryFord.com. Bill Curry Ford. C-U-R-R-I-E, that's where do you go to start shopping for any vehicle, 24/7. And Big Storm Beer, Ira, they've got so many great new beers, and it was just so good to be out there drinking some beer at the tap room, and just fantastic.
Well, you weren't on the dance floor while that band was playing.
No dance floor, no, I was inside, no room outside, but the patio is 3,000 square feet, and they do have live music every weekend. Great time, Big Storm Brewery. Now look, your wisdom is always important on this podcast, and we have not hit you with the money question since some of these bigger, broader changes that we've seen. Now, it's August already, and it's early, but you've soaked in 5 days of training camp. The Bucks lost their starting center. Now we find out, as of now, they're probably going to have to face Deshaun Watson in Week 12 if he gets a six-game suspension. The Saints get Watson on Christmas Eve, also going to Cleveland, and you're looking around the league. Yes, I know you believe the Bucks will win the division, but do you have a different season win total?
I do.
On this team?
I do, Lee. And again, I go to replacing three interior offensive linemen. I don't care who the hell the replacements are. It affects continuity, especially potentially early in the season when the schedule is rough in September by any standards. Lee, I'm knocking them down a peg. I think they still win the division fairly comfortably. I got them 11-6, Lee. I got them 11-6.
That's fair.
And by the way, speaking of other teams, I'm hearing good reports about Jameis Winston, Lee, that he's making a hell of a recovery. And if he gives the Saints much, and we know what the Saints do against the Bucks, those are two tough games for Tampa.
You know, I don't know how many years we've been doing this podcast, and we finally figured out what your pet peeve is. Ryan Jensen going down. Are you sleeping well at night? I've never seen you get this worked up over one subject.
You got to have that in conjunction with the left guard. The left guard's a problem. It's Ali Marpet.
Well, I can't even call it a problem yet because we don't know. Is it Bennett good? No. No, because they lost. Anytime you lose a Pro Bowl player, that's not good. I get that, but I'm not willing to say that they got O'Neal Cousins coming into play.
I'll say it again. I say it very simply. They will take a step back at left guard. I'm sorry. That's the way it's going
to
be.
I think almost the better way to look at it is, no matter what, they'll probably take a full step back in the interior of the offensive line. Now, before Brady got here, everybody and their brother said interior of the offensive line is critical for Brady. Brady doesn't want that push up the middle. That's what he doesn't like. So here's the thing. Whatever Hainsey goes through from Vita Vea, like Lee talked about, and whatever he's been through, nothing's going to compare to a week one situation where Dan Quinn's blitzing up the gut over and over. Don't try to get him to jump.
Here comes Micah Parsons.
Trying to get him to muff a snap. Trying to get him to jump. Trying to get his mind off. You know, but three plays could be the difference in a game. Mark Dominic was talking on Sirius on Friday, talking about going with an inexperienced center. He said, you know, it doesn't matter. He was saying that if the snap to Brady, the feel of the snap isn't right, or they're worried about Hainsey having a quick trigger, you know, he snaps the ball wrong to Brady, gets a little nervous. He's new at it. Brady jams a finger. You've lost. You might lose games because Brady jams a finger because it's different, which I thought was an interesting way to look at it. Even though the snap might look right, it may not be what Brady wants.
I've dropped them down a peg, Lee.
I know that's legitimate, but how many freaking snaps are these guys going to take between now and week one?
Oh, I'm not concerned about Hainsey. I'm not concerned about it, but Brady might be.
You know, like I go back to square one. Brady does one Hainsey. Hainsey's not in there. I'm convinced of that. But, you know, Dominic said, oh, if he snaps it wrong, Christ, how many snaps are they going to have during training camp preseason?
Is there,
give me a break.
Is there a stigma somehow about J.C. Tretter, Steve? You think the fact that he's NFLPA chairman? Could that be?
I don't know. Why don't you call Ed Glazer and ask him if that's a stigma going? What is this? I don't know.
The only thing I can tell you is
he's still out there. He's still out there.
The only thing I can tell you, and Steve's hearing the same thing, they are going to give Hainsey a fair shot. August 1st, right now, today. Might change in 3 days. Today, August 1st. I don't even know J.C. Trotter is on the back burner, much less the front burner.
I guess my question is, why is Treader still on the free agent market? That's my question.
Well, doesn't matter right now. He's not here, Sage.
But I agree with Lee. They're going to give Hainsey every chance.
All right, Ira. So we're back. Practice tomorrow. Good luck on your stress test. And I want to remind everybody, BillCurryFord.com. That's where you shop for a vehicle. BigStormBrewery.com. That's where you find Big Storm beer near you. Just punch in your zip code into the storm tracker. And Florida's EliteRestoration.com. That's what you bookmark in case you have a disaster in your home. Sage, I'm going to give you 4 minutes and 2 seconds. I'm going to clear the floor. Bill Russell passed away, the iconic Celtic center. I know you wrote the obituary for the Hollywood Reporter, the esteemed Hollywood Reporter.
In advance.
They ran it as soon as Russell passed away. Probably 500,000 people read your obituary. It was very well done. And what do you want to say about Mr. Russell that young fans need to know from the Celtics great who won how many championships?
11.
11 championships in the NBA, 50s and 60s. Hey, Bucks fans, just wanted to give you a heads up. From here forward, the final 6 minutes, no more Bucks talk. It's all Ira on Bill Russell. A lot of good stuff, but no more Bucks talk. So just a heads up there, and we'll see you next time.
Well, as Lee always reminds me, and not wrongfully, Lee, I'm not saying you're wrong. Ira, stop with the references from the 50s and 60s. You're losing 4/5 of the audience. He's not wrong. But Lee, there's only one Bill Russell. There's only one. And it's like I went crazy when Chuck Berry died. I'm a Chuck Berry guy. People say, who?
Oh. You know,
because after 1959, he wasn't much of a factor. But I think he's the single greatest figure in rock and roll history. I'm sticking with it.
Wow.
More than Dylan, more than John Lennon, yes.
Oh, I wouldn't put those guys in his league.
So, Bill Russell, at his craft, which was winning basketball games, set the standard, Lee. And he was socially active when it was not easy to be.
In a community where it wasn't easy to be.
Yeah. So, here he is leading the Celtics to all these championships, Lee. And people in Boston, some can't accept him because of the color of his skin. Vandals break into his house.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Defecate on his bed.
I had no idea. Wow.
Throw a brick through the window. N-word everywhere. Can you blame the guy for not embracing Boston?
And you're of course not.
You know Boston's reputation.
Yeah.
In that regard.
Still there.
Bussing and everything. Lee, to me, and I read a lot of obits yesterday because I wanted to compare him to the one I did, which was in advance. I didn't do it yesterday.
But I knew he was going to croak.
Yeah. Now I'm wondering whether my buddy who asked me to do the Bill Russell one 3 months ago, I'm wondering whether he knew that he was in poor health or something.
Oh, wow.
Probably did. Otherwise, why would he mention Bill Russell specifically?
Well, didn't he ask you about Brent Musburger and Billy Packer?
He did. So, Lee, to me, a lot of the other obits on Russell, I think, missed a big, big segment of Russell's story. Will Chamberlain. You can't write about Bill Russell without having stuff about Will Chamberlain.
That's
fair. It's the greatest rivalry, in my opinion, individual, in sports history.
Ooh.
Some people say, what about Chris Everett, Martin, and Everton? No.
Brady and Manning.
These guys played 150 times, and they covered each other. It wasn't like one guy's a guard and one guy's a forward. They covered each other one-on-one. Well, you know how great Chamberlain was, Lee.
Oh, yeah, but he couldn't beat Russell.
And I want to apologize to our listeners. Wilt who?
Wilt who? Come on.
I hope they don't do that. That's like Joe DiMaggio who? I mean, Lee, it's not too much to have a little sense of history. It's not. FDR? Who's FDR?
I've got a degree in history, Ira, so...
You know, so Russell's one of a kind, Lee. He's the greatest winner in professional North American sports. 13 seasons, 11 championships. Within the span of 13 months, he won two NCAA titles, an Olympic title, and an NBA title. I mean, you can't beat it, Lee. And how did he do it?
Defense.
He averaged 15 points a game. 15. He also averaged 22 rebounds, and he was the greatest defensive player ever. So, Lee, am I going to look at you and say he was a better player than Michael Jordan? I'm not going to say that.
Yeah, that's a little much.
First of all, they were totally different. But he's the greatest winner, Lee, and in the end, isn't that what it's all about, and isn't that how Tom Brady's going to be judged?
Oh, yeah. Do you remember the Bob Ryan stat?
Yeah, that he was, repeat that.
21 do-or-die games that included NCAA games, Olympic games, and
NBA
game
sevens. Game sevens.
And he was 21-0.
Doesn't that say it all?
That's clutch.
And who stood up with Muhammad Ali in 1964, 65? Bill Russell sat at a table with him for support.
Jim Brown, too, right?
And Jim Brown. And a young Kareem, who was Lou Alcindor at that time. Those were the guys. And you're right, Jim Brown was in there, too. But Russell had a keen sense of fairness. Do what's right. Celtics are on the road, Lee, 1964. The black players can't stay at the same hotels as the white players. It's a fact. They couldn't be served food.
Yeah, in my lifetime, that crap happened, yeah.
And, you know, that shapes a Bill Russell. So, he didn't sign autographs. All right, you're going to knock him for that, fine. He didn't embrace Boston
so
fans.
Many didn't.
So be it. And, Lee, I'm going to repeat the story. I'm going to end it with this. Because, you know, I got a laugh out of you, and I know I can get a laugh out of the listener. Bill Russell got the NBA Lifetime Achievement Award in 2017. It's on YouTube. You can find it. NBA Lifetime Achievement Award.
How old was Russell then?
Russell was 83. 83-year-old man. So that award means something, you know. So they're bringing the guys up on the stage. Here's Shaquille O'Neal. Here's Alonzo Mourning. Here's David Robinson. Here's Mutombo. And here's Kareem.
Yeah.
There were five of them. And all of them come up one at a time. And now Kareem grabs the microphone, says a couple of things about Russell, his career, his impact. They show some video. And then he says, ladies and gentlemen, on your feet for Bill Russell. Russell comes in stage right. Everybody else is off to his left. He shakes hands with all five centers. He's looking at Mutombo. He's trying to think of what to say. He's trying to think of what he's going to say. And he looks at Mutombo. And then he sticks, he sticks his hand out with his right index finger. He points to Kareem. He points to Shaq. He points to Mourning. He points to Robinson. And he points to Mutombo. One at a time. Then he looks at all of them in the eye and says, I would kick your ass. The crowd went crazy. Kareem's can't stop laughing. Mutombo's howling. The NBA commissioner was there. Magic Johnson in the crowd. That's Bill Russell. He believed it. Could he do it at 85? Probably not, Lee. But could he do it at 29? I bet he could have. That's my Bill Russell story.
All right,
Stevie.
Sage. Well done. Well done. We will see you later this week, Sage.